Thank you, Aaron. I have a lot of thoughts this morning. I hope that the Lord will help me to speak clearly and be able to actually express what's on my heart. If I would title the sermon today, I think I'd call it Live in Thanksgiving. Live in Thanksgiving. To start us out, and actually this is an important scripture, I want to read, and I think I'll be referring back to it kind of throughout the sermon in one way or the other, through other scriptures as a rule. This is in the 16th chapter of Alma. It's where my title comes from. This is on page 431. If you want to follow along, it's a good idea to follow along. It's a good idea to listen to a sermon. Look in your books. Read it with me. Know where it comes from. It's a good idea to take notes. Go home. Read all the stuff around it and just continue to grow and learn. Feast on His Word. So, page 431, this is the book of Alma, chapter 16, and I'm going to start by just reading the 238th verse. It says, "And that ye live in thanksgiving daily, for the many mercies and blessings which He doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, and that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, and that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing." And I'm going to put this back in context by going back and starting with the 230th verse, and we're going to read through 239. But I really, okay, we're going to have a Thanksgiving sermon. I want to talk about Thanksgiving in a larger sense, an important sense. I want to talk about living in Thanksgiving. What is that? What is it? It's part of who you are. Part of the way you behave. It's part of everything to live in Thanksgiving. It has a lot of background to it. It means you understand. You know who God is. That you understand, you know who you are. And that everything your Creator, who created you, who gave you life and breath, everything He has given us. There would be nothing without Him. So let's go back and start on page 430, chapter 16, starting with verse 230, and I'm going to read through 239. "For after this day of life which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say, when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, He dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, and he hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but their garments shall be made white through the blood of the Lamb. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, and that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that you receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that ye humble yourselves even to the dust, and worship God in whatsoever place ye may be in spirit and in truth, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, that ye bear with all manner of afflictions, that ye do not revile against those who do cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest ye become sinners like unto them, but that ye have patience and bear with those afflictions with a firm hope that ye shall one day rest from all your afflictions. I think, you know, there's so much that when you read something that it kind of goes by in a hurry. But I'm hoping as we go through this sermon, we'll come back and we'll point at real important parts here to kind of get the message and start to understand actually the important question is, do I myself live in thanksgiving? Does it show? Am I an ambassador of thanksgiving to the Lord? Let's turn over to Colossians now. And I think I'll use the same pattern. I'm going to read first the 15th verse of the third chapter of Colossians. Sorry, my phone's boiling over. There. Third chapter of Colossians, let's read first the 15th verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And now let's put it back in context. I'm going to start with the 12th verse and read through the 17th. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And as I read through here, this is active. It's a way to live. It's a way to think. It's an attitude to have. It's not just about me being thankful in my heart. It comes out. It's like you can't contain it. It boils over. It's a part of who you are. For an illustration, I know every so often we hear about the things that go on today and how discouraging it can be and so forth, but that's not necessarily my purpose, but it is to show a contrast. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, you turn with me. Second Timothy, 3rd chapter. I'm just going to read the first two verses. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And I really want to underline unthankful, unholy. These things show in us. I was thinking this morning, you know, and maybe sometimes I'm not humble. I don't see things accurately. And so I look in the mirror and I'm shocked. But the way you're living shows. It shows even in a moment. And so, you know, I may be very busy with many, many things, but am I real active? Am I active in my life? Am I doing stuff? Am I exercising? Well, I look in the mirror and I have this V physique, like a snow cone. And it shows, it literally reflects the way I've been living my life. It's the same spiritually. Remember the scripture that says, are you spiritually born of God? You bear his image on your countenance. It's every day that ends up showing that, so that when somebody sees you, they know you're different. There's something different going on inside. So this concept of living in thanksgiving, knowing who God is, and so you're so grateful for every moment. You know, there's a quote that's attributed to Albert Einstein. I've tried to prove whether it was him or not, you know, go back and see what it says on the internet and so forth, and there's all kinds of argument back and forth. But I still think it's an important quote, because he says, you know, that there's two ways you can live your life. One is as if nothing is a miracle, and one as if everything is a miracle. And there's a huge gulf between those two points of view. Huge. It makes huge difference in the way you look at things, the way you think about things. It makes a huge difference in whether you're actually thankful towards him. I'm very visual. And so I'm going to go back and kind of try to paint a picture for you about that. But before I go there, I want to give one more example of what it's not, what it's like to not have thanksgiving, what it's like to not understand that God is God and that we are man, to not actually perceive that. I'm going to go to Romans, the 1st chapter. And if you've read through this before, I kind of view it, it's almost like an outline, step by step, of what happens to us in our hearts and in our minds when we wander away from God. It actually tells how our faith is dismantled and we become Our mind gets given over to a reprobate mind. So, Romans 2nd chapter, you know, before I read the whole thing, maybe I'll just read the one verse to point out what I'm talking about, and then I'll put it back in context. Verse 21. Because that when we knew God, we glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's just part of the step of what happens to us when we don't understand who God is, when we become the God in our own life. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to start with verse 16 of the first chapter of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I read through this, and I think a lot of times we go back and read that, and we have a particular sin in mind, or a particular problem in mind, and so they think that's what it's saying. But it talks about so many things there that literally are the result of us believing ourselves and not God. Of us turning away from God, of us not being part of the light and the life, which is Jesus Christ. And that's where I'm going to go next, to kind of emphasize that picture. If you turn over to 1 John. Not 1 John. John 1st chapter. I'm just going to read the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so you take a look at this. There's two sides, and they're far, far apart. There is light. There's God, who is the light and the life of man. And there is darkness and death. What's the wages of sin? Death. So you have life and light. You have darkness and death. And I think sometimes we think that it's possible to be in a place where, you know, I'm not at that threshold yet. I haven't come to a point of making a decision. Brothers and sisters, you're past it. Even if you think about it, every moment that you think you're coasting through life, not making a choice, that in itself was a choice. That was a choice. What, for you scientists, what is darkness? It's the absence of light. And so if we literally, if we have not chosen Him, if we have not chosen Him who is light and life, then we have chosen dark and death. I think we all have to ask ourselves. There's thresholds that we study about when we're a kid, you know. Well, you know, I start going to church, and I go to Sunday school, and then I actually endure through a sermon till I've actually heard the whole thing, and then I hit another threshold where I actually start bringing my books, and I kind of engage in that sermon. I look things up, and I read it too. You know, there's these thresholds that we think are getting it done. But I'm talking even beyond those things. What's happening in our heart? Have we chosen? Have we chosen Him? That's where living in thanksgiving comes from. We have to choose Him, the light and the life. Have we made that decision? Have we made that decision, and are we sticking to it? I heard a good sermon, and this was not somebody I was used to listening to, and at the time, I didn't know who he was. Once I learned who he was, I got to where I would go back and listen to him. But I was at work one day, and the radio was playing away, and this guy whose voice I would not have followed, because he speaks kind of, he kind of yells. At least that's how it struck me. His name's Tony Evans. Anybody ever heard of him? He asked a very practical question. Something that remained on my heart. He said, you know, we talk about, oh yeah, I believe. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I go to church. And he said, great. Wonderful. Which one are you? Which one are you? Do you pick up the books at the end of the service and put them back in the pews? Do you take time to speak to people and be kind? Are you part of the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program? Do you help kids that are in a disadvantage? Which one are you? How are you a Christian? How are you engaged? How are you literally making and living this choice? Living in thanksgiving. Living your faith. Showing that you have chosen light. Showing that you have chosen life. I'm going to jump over to Luke. And at first, it felt like I've jumped off the subject, but be patient. Luke, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to start just by reading one verse. The 35th verse. It says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." You take that verse by itself, and you may think, that's kind of strange. I think it's more of our nature because of the pride that's in our heart. I mean, that's literally what it is. That we look at somebody that we think doesn't understand the goodness of God, and so they're unthankful. They're unthankful, and they're evil. So I wouldn't be kind to them. I literally will avoid them. I'll stay away. But what did we read in the Book of Mormon on this Let's look back. This is on page 431, 16th chapter of Alma. It's out of that 237th verse. I'm going to start reading that 237th verse. "And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, and that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it, and take upon you the name of Christ, that ye humble yourself even to the dust." That ye humble yourself even to the dust and worship God in whatsoever place ye may be in spirit. So let's go back to that verse. "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." That seems foolish, but he's telling us to do that, and he's going to tell you why. "And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Who is the unthankful and the evil? Remember, humble yourself, even to the dust, because there's no person that hasn't been there at one time. He did this for you and I. All of us have been unthankful. All of us have been evil. And he was kind to us. He was kind to us by the things that he gave us, by the love that he poured out toward us. By the way, he used other people, his children, to engage in our life and show us kindness and mercy and patience. You and I were there. Humble yourself. Now I'm going to go back and expand on this, put it back in context. I'm going to start with verse 27, and I'm going to read through 38. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? What thank have ye? For sinners also love those who love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to him, if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall man give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Live in thanksgiving. Show these things in your life. It shows that you're thankful. It shows that you understand and you have become one of these children of the Highest. And I'm going to jump now. I'm going to jump over. I just want to talk about something else that I want you to ask yourself and to think about. If you're living in thanksgiving, yes, there's so much action to that. So many things to do. But I want to ask you about that other word. Remember in 2 Timothy I was reading and I said, it said that they are unthankful and what else? Do you remember? Unholy. I want to take a moment. Ask yourself, are you doing this? Are you taking that time? Take time to be holy. And I think sometimes we can misunderstand what that is. Again, it would be because of the pride of our heart. There's a danger if you think of yourself as holy, that you think of yourself as better than others, and you forget, and you don't remain humble, you become judgmental and prideful. Take time to be holy. I looked it up. It says so many neat things, so many important things. But maybe I can summarize it best by using the word sanctified. Sanctified kind of incorporates the idea that you set aside time. You set aside your attention. You set aside your effort for God. And that you do it on a regular basis. Take time to be holy. Let me give an example. Mike Hitt, one of our elders used to live in Pineville, Missouri at that time. He was on the way home from work one day, and as he pulled into his neighborhood and to pull into his driveway, he pulled by his next-door neighbor, and his next-door neighbor was a much older gentleman, but he had the hood up on his car, and he was sitting there staring into the engine, not really doing anything. He was just staring at it, and Mike thought, I had never seen him do anything with a car except get in it and drive. I wonder what's going on, you know. And so Mike pulled into his own driveway and he walked across the yard and he said, you know, called him by name and he said, what's going on? And the old gentleman said, I do not know. It won't start. He said, you don't understand. My wife is so sick. And I never know when I need to take her to the emergency room or to the doctor. And this car won't start. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know cars. And Mike said, well, hang on. He ran back to the house and brought his toolbox over. And he started tinkering away with the engine. And he discovered what was going on. Long story short, you know, a quick trip to the auto parts place. And he tuned it all up and it fired right up. And so it wasn't what Mike was thinking or why he did it, but this old gentleman decided, well, then I got to pay you for this. And Mike said, no. He said, God has given me everything, everything. He said, it seems like it's so seldom that I actually get a chance to give back. So this is my chance. This actually helps me to help you. And the gentleman began to weep. And he started to explain to him, no, you don't understand what you really did. And he tried to explain it to him, but Mike said, okay, that makes me feel even better. But I'm still so glad I was able to give back. I didn't do this for pay. And so, you know, he went home and left the guy with a car that would run. That is living in thanksgiving. And that is a life that testifies about God, that God is, and how good he is to all of us. It's a life that testifies that we are children of the highest. That's what living in thanksgiving really is. It's being children of the highest. To take time to be holy, we need to spend time in prayer. I know that life is so busy. It's so busy. It's never not. It's like you come home and your kids greet you at the door and hang around your neck, and you know, then the evening starts and it is so busy. There's something that needs to be done at all times. But we have to take time. We have to take time. We need to spend private time with the Lord in prayer. And I'm talking about something beyond 2 hours on Sunday. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about showing up and attending while everybody else does it. I'm talking about you, between you and your Heavenly Father, taking time with Him, speaking with Him, sharing your concerns about your loved ones, about those around you, praying and asking for guidance between you and the Lord. I'm talking about feasting upon His Word, trusting Him by engaging in study so that you can begin to wear it as He would. Remember, we've heard so many times out of Isaiah 55 that His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're not what's natural to man. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We want His ways. And we learn it by feasting upon His Word. And I think we even learn His Word better when we try to put it into action. I remember a time in my life where this whole thing of praying for your enemies affected me directly. It wasn't about praying for somebody I didn't like. It was about praying for somebody who was calling at all hours of the night and waking my kids up. It was about praying for somebody who was literally following me home from work. It was about praying for somebody who flattened my tires in the company parking lot. He was showing such hatred toward me, and I needed to pray for him. And so I'm going to tell you, when I did pray for him, it was over like that, right? I'm not going to tell you that. This went on for a period of time. And you remember where it talks about praying and that if you don't pray with real intent? Believe me, I was angry back. The way he would follow me home was with a huge red van with custom painting all over it. And I knew where he parked at night. I wanted to go burn it down. I was battling that in my heart. I needed to pray and pray with real intent. And it took time. And I prayed to the point of frustration, because it continued to make no difference. One day, I was on a softball team at the time. One day on that softball team, I slid into a base and I really sprained my ankle. And, you know, I jumped back up and finished the game and I kept it moving. But after I went to sleep that night, I tried to get out of bed in the morning and man, that had really set in. I just couldn't walk on that ankle. So I called in to work and I headed over to the ER. They took x-rays and were taking care of me. While I was in there, that gentleman that I was trying to pray for, and let me back up and say, I began to pray with some other effort just because I was frustrated. And I asked, Lord, I'm trying to pray for him and I'm trying to change this situation. It's not changing. Present an opportunity. Give me a chance. And so his kids walk into the ER. One of them had ran into a chain link fence with their bicycle and was all cut up. And so the older one brought the younger one over to the ER and they lived real close to that hospital. And so I'm sitting here watching his kids, and And it just gave me an opportunity. Because a couple days later, he had to come up to me for a signature on his check. Part of my responsibility as a nurse at that plant was to, when somebody was off ill or took time off, they came up to me and I signed that they were off ill so that they would get paid illness pay during that time. So he came up to me. He did not want to be there. He hated that he had to come up there. And so I took advantage of the moment and I said, hey, I was in the ER and I told him when. And I said, and your kids came in. And I said, you would be so proud of them. And I told him about how bravely his son had gone through treatment and stitches and all that it took. And I said, and your daughter was incredible. She was just there with him the whole time and took care of him and soothed him and tried to give him courage. I said, you have really good kids. That's all I wanted to say. You should have seen the look in his eyes when I brought up that I was in the ER and saw his kids. He looked at me like he wanted to kill me. He looked at me because he expected me to insult his kids some way. He stood there in silence and stared at me for a minute. And he turned around and he left without comment. But give a couple weeks. I go out and I go to leave and my battery dies on my truck. And this big custom painted red van pulls around me and he jumps out of the van with jumper cables. And it's not because it suddenly became comfortable. We still had to battle our emotions, try to treat each other right, but believe God's word and try with all your energy to persist and have that behavior. Try to make it work. Try. It's important. And remember, who are we unkind to? Who are we kind to? We just read it in Luke, the 6th chapter. Said that he is kind to the unthankful. He is kind to the evil. And that if we behave that way, then we are the children of the highest. We're being his. Take time to be holy. Let me present you with another picture that we've been given in the scriptures. And these, everything I say, are for you to take home. This is for you to think about in relation to yourself. I'm going to go to Revelations, the 1st chapter. This is when John was in the Isle of Patmos. And this very short verse I want you to think about. The 10th verse. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. What is it to be in the Spirit? Help that define for you this taking time to be holy, to where your heart and your mind is open to the Spirit of God, that He might speak to you. Let me read a few more verses. Verse 10 again. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And it goes ahead talking about this, but are you taking the time and the practice? Are you spending the time in His Word? Are you spending time in private prayer with Him that begins to make this happen in you? And I'm not necessarily talking about what he saw and heard, but the preparation that was visible within him, this, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Do you take that time to be in the Spirit of God, not just on the Lord's day? Live in thanksgiving. Consider these things that will make a difference in you. It will change how you feel about things. I want to talk one more example real quick. I'm going to ask you to be slower in judgment. Not like irresponsible, void of judgment. I'm going to ask you to be more merciful. I'm going to ask you to remember that you were once unthankful, that you were once evil, and that God was kind to you, and that people were kind to you. I'm going to ask you to give yourself time to rethink things. I've heard, this is just something I can remember right now. I've heard the statement, a guy made a touchdown in a football game that somebody was watching, and the person who made the touchdown knelt down and crossed himself and pointed to heaven. And the statement was, that was just to be seen of men. I'm going to ask you to slow down. I'm going to ask you to be more merciful in judgment of others. Maybe that person that said that actually knew that person and actually knew that they weren't a godly person. They were not sincere at all. Maybe. But I do doubt it. I think the greater chance is they didn't actually know that person. They didn't actually know what was going on in their heart. It might have been sincere. Think about these words. When you see somebody that makes any kind of reference towards God in a positive way, when somebody is grateful, thankful, when they say something of praise, remember these words, Think these in your heart. Think, yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I agree. I know that it's our tendency. Who was it, Elijah? Who was it that there was absolutely nobody that was God-fearing in his whole town? And finally, he was told that there's something like 10,000 in his town alone that bowed the knee before God. Believe those things. And slow down. Slow down in your judgment. Give yourself time to actually make a fair evaluation, a godly evaluation of things. I'm going to conclude out with a reading out of Psalms. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God bless each of you. I do wish you a good Thanksgiving, but I want to say, spend some private time with yourself and ask you these questions. Are you living in Thanksgiving? Does it show? Does it show? Is it changing your heart? I love each of you. You'll be in my prayers.